ask your blessing on Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning, Lord. Help us to apply it to our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Since this is a Sunday where we talk a little bit more about our connection with Covenant World Relief and Development, I wanted to share a couple of stories this morning. A couple of them are in video form, and then a couple of them are on a little handout that we'll pass out in just a moment. But I want to, if you're not familiar with Covenant World Relief and Development, this is its 80th anniversary year that it has been in our denomination, the organization that really responds in two specific ways. It responds to immediate needs, especially around disasters. Sometimes they're in the United States here or in other countries, and we'll highlight a little bit of that. And then they also engage in community development projects to help lift people out of suffering and poverty. And this happens both here and around the world in so many different ways. So we have a little video that we want to show. It's a couple minutes long, and it kind of gives us an overview of World Relief.
Every day our headlines are filled with accounts of a hurting and broken world. We see image after image and hear countless stories of those living through the impact of disasters and those displaced by war and violence. Each headline reminds us of the urgent call to extend our compassion, just as Jesus taught us in Matthew 25. To reach out to the least of these. It can be overwhelming to think of the many areas help is needed. How can we best meet the needs of our hurting world?
For nearly 80 years, Covenant World Relief and Development has been the Covenant Church's means for partnering in the strengthening of communities and responding to disasters around the world. By developing a network of global partnerships, CWRD connects us to Christ-centered, transformative, and trustworthy work around the world. Joining with more than 30 global partners, we are invited to participate in a variety of projects, each project designed and implemented by the local partner.
We work in more than 20 countries around the world. Our partners in Nepal are improving health and sanitation, reducing the spread of waterborne illnesses, bringing lasting transformation to villages without access to clean water and healthcare. Consider the grandfather who saw the work in another village and brought it to his own for the transformation of his family and their neighbors. You can imagine the pride he feels and the legacy that will be felt for generations to come. Hundreds, thousands of lives will be impacted through his curiosity and willingness to bring something new to his community. In addition to projects like this in Nepal, our partners have been pivotal in delivering emergency relief and rebuilding efforts after disasters, providing critical support and resources to affected families. Their dedication is fostering healthier, more resilient communities around the world.
Through our partners, CWRD remains dedicated to reducing human suffering and fostering human flourishing. Every individual and church has the power to make a difference, both near and far. We believe in the power of collective action. People of all ages working together to bring about meaningful and sustainable change in the world. You can be a part of what God is doing through prayer, advocacy, and giving, using the Can for Change, a special offering, a personal or a planned gift. You can join us in making a difference in the lives of many.
Together, we can build a future filled with hope and possibility for everyone. Will you join us?
So that's just a little kind of overview of some of the things that we get to be a part of, both directly and indirectly. And that's one of the reasons why, at least for a number of years, we've always collected a special offering, usually on this Giving Thanks Sunday. And after the message, you'll have a chance, if you want to make a special offering, feel free to do that. You can also bring forward anything. And when we conclude our service today, we'll pray for God to bless these offerings and multiply them to be a part of what's going on in the world. We have a little handout that Cheese, oh, thank you, Ayla. Ayla and Cheese are going to help pass out to you. And it gives, sometimes it's hard to have a full idea of like what impact we can make. You know, on our own, by ourselves, we might be able to impact, you know, one person, maybe a couple of people. But together, through dozens and hundreds of churches, we can have an oversized impact to really make and bring about God's vision of shalom on earth as it is in heaven. On the side with all of the blue on there, it kind of gives you a summary of what the impact was of some of our giving, not just our giving, but several hundred churches. And we often say, you know, the Covenant Church is not necessarily a very large denomination or group, but we tend to punch above our weight class. And so in a lot of different areas, what I've really come to appreciate more and more is the use of local partners, that it's not just a bunch of church folks going all around the world saying, we think you need this. It's local people, local communities saying, we need help in this area, and inviting partners to come on in. And that's really the model that I think works well. So you can see some of the overall things that are going on. Over 50 different projects. It's really quite amazing, all of the variety that's going on. Disaster response. This happens both abroad and in the United States as well. Sometimes it's things that we haven't even thought about, or maybe we haven't been aware of in this country for a very long time. Things like cholera outbreaks, or just access to clean water and all that can come about when you don't have access to clean water. Obviously, we're very familiar with earthquakes and mudslides and all sorts of things like that. But the larger responses through the years have been things like helping Hurricane Katrina relief, you know, different hurricane relief, providing funds to Southern California last year during the intense fallout from all the fires down there, and so much more. Some of our Covenant camps actually took special offerings this year, and from the campers alone, they raised almost $30,000, which for a bunch of middle school and high school students, that's pretty great. So I'm very proud of those efforts and just all the things that are going on. I want to highlight a couple of stories this morning. On the back of that handout, it highlights three different organizations that were started or partnered with in the country of Colombia. Now, Colombia had, in this particular area where some of the Covenant and our partners are working, there was a devastating mudslide. We talked about it about a year ago, and there were actually a bunch of children that died as a result of one of these mudslides. And so some of our Covenant partners, they responded with that initial disaster work. But then they also joined up with three different organizations you can see on the back called Shalom Music, Art Paz, which is art, peace, and Sepaz. Three different, which I thought for our church, with the number of artsy, artistic folks that we have, these are some really cool projects that some of our offerings help to support. And this is just one example of things that are going around. It says, by empowering local leaders and restoring broken communities through creative, faith-rooted development, these leaders are embodying Christ's example of loving and serving the people around them. I'd encourage you to read through a few of these specific stories. They're really, they can really inspire our own creativity and our own generosity as well. The video that we showed just a couple minutes ago, it also highlighted some of the work that's ongoing in the country of Nepal, which maybe all you know about Nepal is that they got some really tall mountains there. Well, there is a lot of wonderful work that's going on, but they also have terrible earthquakes and mudslides just like we do here in California. So World Relief and some of our partners were able to help right away. They had actually a massive hailstorm there that destroyed whole communities. There were two partners in particular. One is called Shanti Nepal, and then Nepal Christian Relief Services. And because we had built a partnership with those two groups, we were able to actually send them some immediate funds to help. And they had people on the ground right away that were able to provide, you know, for you or me to make plans to go to Nepal to try to help, that would be virtually impossible to pull all of that together. But there were already people on the ground that we were able to partner with to help people that were in need. When the storms hit, they actually helped these communities to rebuild. And I think that, especially when we're maybe in this country, where often we can be kind of desensitized to all of the chaos of the world, it's important to not only highlight some of the stories where God is at work, but also to see those visuals of the good work that God is doing to lift people up around the world. This is a really natural time of year for us to be mindful of that as we're approaching Thanksgiving. These stories of transformation and healing, I just encourage you so much to look for those stories and to celebrate them. One of the things that I find helpful when I hear someone else's story is that it touches me in a particular way, but it also inspires my heart that maybe I have a story to tell or to share with someone else. And we can learn from one another through this process so that we can help respond to the hurts and the needs of our world. I want to read one story from the Bible this morning. It's a reflection of one person's experience and also how they came to respond to the Lord. It's a story that includes a lot of natural human emotions, things like despair and fear, but also joy and praise and thankfulness. And as I read and as we reflect, I hope that we're able to experience God's presence as well. I'm going to read Psalm 30. This is a psalm of David, and he wrote it as a way to honor the Lord, a dedication for the temple, and it came out of his experience of pain. And this is how he writes, "I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." There's a song that we sing about that sometimes. Verse 6, he says, "When I was prosperous, I said, nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered." I'm not sure if he's completely truthful here. It's more like he sinned and made a mistake, and he felt like God had abandoned him, even though that wasn't true. But that was his experience and what he felt in the moment. And he says, "I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, What will you gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord, and have mercy on me. Help me, O Lord. For you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. David wrote a lot of psalms. This is just one example, and we could have read a whole bunch of other ones. There's something about the psalms that when I am feeling particular emotions, I often turn to the psalms. But also when I need those reminders of God's goodness and faithfulness, especially in those times where the night seems really dark, the psalms are a good place to turn to. David sure encountered the full range of experience. Nothing can stop me now. And then in the very next verse, he feels alone. Everything suddenly crumbles under the hardships of life. He's living in God's favor in one step, and then suddenly he feels like he's been completely abandoned. Somehow rejected by the same God. Even though we know it's true that God did not reject him at all. I like how David says this, though, because it reminded me of something Rebecca said last week when she shared that when we're going through stuff, that it's okay to wrestle. We don't have to default to, I'm just going to be happy and cheerful all the time. There is a time for that, but there's also a time to be honest before the Lord. That sometimes we have to wrestle through things. And honestly, we have those feelings a lot in our life. We are not always sure. Sometimes we are shaken. Lord, how or why did this happen? Or we think, Lord, how did it get to this point in my life? In this particular psalm, I find it interesting that David actually starts with the end point. In the very first verse, he says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me up from the pit. See, God had rescued him. It reminded me of that word that you shared last week, sozo, which is the word that God uses when he describes saving us, rescuing us, delivering us. In this particular psalm, the word exalt also means to lift up. So God literally lifted David up, rescuing him. And as a result, what is David going to do? I will exalt you, Lord. I will praise you and honor you. He's aware of what God has done. He was in the depths, and God grabbed him and restored him. Praise the Lord, yes. I like that he starts the psalm that way. It's a good reminder for us when we are aware of how the Lord has been faithful and is faithful. It is always appropriate to respond to the Lord with thanks and praise. I love how the psalms really zero in on real emotions and raw human experience. If you're going through something in this season of your life, turn to the Psalms. It's super easy. You can even Google it. You could say, I'm feeling this, and AI will show you a psalm. What? The Bible app does that too, yes. The Bible app, which actually I just heard surpassed 1 billion downloads. The most downloaded app of all time around the world. Life is full of hardship. Yet if we continue to turn to the Lord and appeal to his mercy, he hears us and he will respond to you. Why? Because the Lord is faithful and he keeps his promises. You reminded of us of us that last week, Rebecca. The Lord does keep his promises. Weeping may endure through the night, but the morning will come, and with it the opportunity to experience joy again. Now, I'll be honest, nobody likes the dark nights. I woke up last night, and for some, you've all had this. You wake up and you just can't fall back asleep. It's so annoying sometimes. And the longer you stay awake and you try to force yourself to like fall asleep, it just feel all of the things that you're thinking about just feel worse and worse and worse. And then suddenly you open your eyes and it's 3 or 4 hours later. And you're like, okay, thank you, Lord, for at least granting me a little bit of rest. Nobody likes the darkness. Yet somehow when we see that light dawning, even if we're in those moments of darkness, that light, that little glimpse of light can lift our spirits and help us to find hope again in the presence of God. That's why it's important for us to share and hear stories. We don't know how our story can inspire somebody else. You might think that it's just a normal story, maybe even a little bit boring, but we never know until we actually share what's going on and how God is at work in our lives. I want to show one more story of transformation and healing this morning. It's a video with a partner in Kenya, and it's a group called Jitokezi in Kenya, and we have a partnership with them. And the director that you'll hear speaking of this organization, her name is Philippine Kidula. And I don't think I need to say anymore. Let's watch this.
At its heart, Jitokeze is a place where young women and girls that have been abused or they have been exploited or they are struggling in our community, they can come in and find acceptance. They don't have to prove themselves in terms of the kind of class they are from. They are accepted from the place where they are, and they are supported to find their skills, to find themselves. As girls, they're important before God, they're important to each other, and they're important in the community. Here at the center at Jitokeze, we visualize a person from the individual level, but also to the community level. She gets to learn livelihood skills, and livelihood skills that help her to generate income when she goes back to the community. So for us, this is tailoring. She learns skills in tailoring and dressmaking. She learns skills in making hair, hairdressing, pedicure, manicure, beauty stuff. And she also gets to learn skills on gardening and agriculture. And then apart from that, we also try to reach to the individual level through morning devotions. We do what we call weekly reflections, where we talk about how the week went, how she sees herself. That helps us to think through issues we are facing, like self-esteem issues, trauma issues, challenges. If you are a leader and you're facing challenges, how you can be better and stuff like that, so that we can help the girls to understand that they also can lead people. I'm realizing now that the impact of our ministry should not be measured by numbers, but should be measured by the healing of the individual and how they're showing up for themselves and the community, how they're healing the relationships.
Healing doesn't happen just by training. It takes presence, it takes patience.
That being present with people is harder than just standing there to train somebody, being there and understanding them and being curious about them. I really believe that one changed life can really change a family, and it ends up changing the entire community, even to the level of the nation. I've seen it with several of them that have left the program, where when they came, they were even rejected and they were treated like outcasts. But once they found themselves and they healed, they became the people who went and reconciled even with the people that broke them. You get what I mean?
So to me, that is a manifestation of the healing of an individual heals the community as a whole. So it's just as important we focus on the individual to touch the community. There's a class system in Kenya that is based on literacy, it's based on how well you're educated, how rich your family is, and if you're connected to politics. And so we broke those barriers. I appreciate being able to do this work, and I think it's unique because of the impact that we have is on those on the sidelines. In the past, if you were to ask me about the impact of Jitokeze, I would have gone straight to the numbers. I would have told you how we started with only 9 girls doing sewing projects and went into serving 400 trained through this program. I would have told you that with a lot of pride. So now when I think about where we are going as an organization and the kind of impact I want us to see, I ask myself, is this girl whole? Is she experiencing healing? I know you, Carol. I know you, Rachel. I know you, Tabitha. Are you experiencing healing? I wake up every morning and serve the girls of Jitokeze because I believe that they have potential to live better lives. They have potential to get out of oppression. They have potential because of who created them. They are created in the image of God, and our God is loving, our God is whole, our God is a healer. That's the potential I believe God wants us to bring out of ourselves and out of these girls.
Find her story, her spirit, and her determination so inspiring, and just what a difference one person can make. I'll have the opportunity actually at the end of January they're going to be premiering they created a longer film of this, and so I'll have the opportunity to hear that in Chicago at the end of January. And hopefully they'll release the whole thing so we can share it with all of you as well. I loved what she said about a ministry of healing presence, that she measures the impact now by asking questions. Is this girl whole? Have you experienced healing? Because that's who God is and how God is. As you think today about your own story, what is your story of healing and transformation? Maybe it's an ongoing one. Maybe it's something that has happened before and something that is still God is doing in and through you. How has God been faithful to you? I put a few of those questions on the back of your bulletin. There's some good ones to reflect on, especially if later this week you do some kind of tradition where you share things that you're thankful for. Maybe do a little pre-work on that. If you're in the midst of a season of night, then I would encourage you today to reach out and take God's hand, knowing that that's the only hand that has the power to lift you up out of wherever you are. Only the Lord can turn mourning into joyful dancing. It might feel dark or even be dark, but the morning is coming. Some of you need that word of hope today. Know that God is still here. He has not abandoned you. You told us that last week, Rebecca. God has not abandoned you. His presence still has the power to heal and restore you. And when he does, how should we then respond? I want to close with a few verses. Actually, one psalm. It's 5 verses. Psalm 100. Let me read this morning. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. May that be the prayer and the promise that you hold on to in this season, in this day. Respond with gratitude for all that God has done, and trust that God will help you in the present. We're going to respond to God in just a few moments by singing a closing song. I'm going to pray. We'll pass our offering bags around. Feel free if you want to put your connection cards in there. We'd love for you to do that. If you want to give a special offering to support work like what we've seen today, you can do that. And we'll pray for God to bless all that we offer. So will you join me as we pray? Lord our God, when we come together to praise you, it is the power of your presence which draws us together and allows us to offer all that we are to you. Lord, we're here this morning as a diverse group of people, and yet as we turn our hearts to you, amazingly through your power, you knit us together as one. One body through your saving power and unlimited grace. God of unfailing and steadfast love, we give thanks that you have made yourself known. We thank you for your love. And so we offer you our glad hearts and joyful praise today. We thank you for the stories of all the good work that you are doing and the ways that you invite people around the world to partner with you in this good and great work. Thank you for the stories of transformation and healing. May they encourage and inspire us to join you wherever you are at work in the world. We ask now, Lord, for your faithful presence and your comfort and your peace. Respond to the cries of our heart and the burdens we bear on behalf of others. Will you renew us today, O God? May it be your joy that fills us and strengthens us this week. Father, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. The church said, Amen. Lord, will you bless these gifts in the spirit in which they're given? Multiply them for your sake and the sake of your kingdom. God, continue to inspire our hearts to be thankful and generous. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close with a few words. May you encounter God's presence today and in the week ahead. May you experience God's unfailing love. Allow his love to transform your spirit and infuse your heart with his healing as you respond in thanks with great joy. Go now blessed by God and filled with his hope, peace, joy, and love. I hope that you have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. We look forward to seeing you again next Sunday as we begin our journey of Advent. For those of you that like to hear some special music, next Sunday, what time are you? Like 10:15? Like, you can come a little bit early if you want to, and you can hear some special Christmassy music. Or maybe some other music from you and your sister Amy. All right? Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you again. Amen.